Hello and welcome into another episode of Locked On Wolves. This is the post-game podcast. Today we're going to talk about what happened in the Timberwolves Game 5 loss to the Grizzlies, what the Grizzlies did differently down the stretch, why the Timberwolves could not guard Ja Morant, and also what was the Wolves' biggest issue on offense in this game. They battled hard, they led for most of it, but they still lost. We're going to break it all down on the show here today. Welcome in. You are Locked On Wolves.
You are Locked On Timberwolves. Your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I am the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Happy hump day. It's a not-so-happy Wednesday after a Timberwolves loss on Tuesday night in Game 5 of the first-round series against the Grizzlies. We're going to break down the whole thing here today. I want to talk specifically about the offensive issues and then also the inability to stop Ja Morant down the stretch. What happened to the Wolves? Can they bounce back in Game 6? It's all coming on the show. A big thank you, first of all, for making Locked On Wolves your first listen every day. Of course, Locked On Wolves is free and available everywhere. That includes YouTube as well as all of your favorite audio platforms. Apple, Google, Spotify, the all-new Odyssey app. You can also follow the show on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and my account, which is at BBeacon with two Bs, two Es, C-K-E-N. All right. So Timberwolves lose Game 5 at Memphis Tuesday night, a game that they led for much of it. They came into the game 6-point underdogs, according to our friends at betonline.net. Everybody's heard the stats. I think it's 82% of the time the team that wins Game 5 in a 7-game series wins the series. Makes sense. Now, of course, the Wolves need to win 2 games consecutively, including one on the road, in order to advance, to win the series. The Timberwolves led for most of this game. They played decently well. I mean, it wasn't a super well-played game. A lot of the series, you could say that about. It's two teams that just kind of go, it's like you're watching the game in 1.5 times speed, right? Everybody's just playing really fast and pretty sloppily, and we saw more of that in this game. A lot of whistles, you know, long game times because of all the fouls called. That's kind of been the MO this entire series, and we saw that again on Tuesday in Game 5. But the Wolves were up to the task, right? I mean, they led for a good portion of this game. They were up 3 at the end of the first quarter. They were still up by a bucket at halftime. Second quarter was maybe the Wolves' roughest quarter up until the end of the fourth. The Wolves won the third quarter pretty easily and actually had a lead, an 11-point lead, if I'm not mistaken, heading to the fourth quarter. But we're going to get into exactly what happened. But then things kind of fell apart. And at this point, obviously, well, actually, let's do this. Let's start with the biggest takeaway. I want to do my biggest takeaway. So, biggest takeaway for me was the Wolves played so well defensively over the first three quarters. Headed to the fourth quarter, Memphis only had 74 points. They had a real shot at holding them below 100, and then they gave up 37 points in the fourth quarter. The Timberwolves did a good job on Ja Morant the first portion of the game. I think he had 4 made field goals at halftime. They were making him give the ball up. I talked about this following the Game 4 win on Saturday, that the Wolves, it was a pick-your-poison situation, right? Just like teams do with the Wolves. Minnesota said, let's force the ball to Ja Morant's hands. Let's make Desmond Bain, among others, make three-pointers to beat us. That almost happened on Saturday. The Wolves ended up only winning by 1 point, but Ja had a poor game. He shot the ball poorly from the field. They made him into a distributor versus a scorer. They tried to do that again in this game, and it was really effective for the first 3-plus quarters. Minnesota did a great job. They did a lot of switching on the perimeter. They were, you know, they were blitzing the pick and roll and then switching when they needed to. Jared Vanderbilt did a great job when he was switched onto Ja Morant. Karl Anthony Towns did an okay job. And then there were guys who didn't do a good job. And this was the problem down the stretch. D'Angelo Russell, the Grizzlies were hunting that matchup, much as the Timberwolves were kind of hunting the Kyle Anderson matchup defensively last game. And teams have tried to get D'Lo in actions all year, trying to go at D'Lo. And that happened here. The Grizzlies were, it was way too easy for them to get D'Angelo Russell guarding Ja Morant one-on-one on the perimeter. And what, even if the Wolves played solid point of attack defense, even if they blitzed the pick and roll, contained Ja, ended up with Vando on him or Anthony Edwards or somebody that could at least do a decent job of staying in front of him or make his life more difficult, Even if the Wolves defended the initial action well, the Grizzlies would simply swing the ball around the perimeter by the time it rotates back to Ja Morant. He's in single coverage. There's one guy guarding him, right? And he could just take whoever that is off the dribble. He could beat basically anybody one-on-one anyway, but too often it was somebody he could beat fairly easily, whether it was Karl-Anthony Towns put in a tough spot trying to defend him on the perimeter, or if it was D'Angelo Russell, who he certainly could defeat in a one-on-one matchup on the perimeter. The Grizzlies did a good job of moving the ball. The Timberwolves did not adjust, and that was a massive issue. One of the other things the Grizzlies did in order to kind of grease the wheels for Ja to have a big latter half of the fourth quarter was they played Dylan Brooks at the four, essentially. Not essentially, they did down in the fourth quarter. And so it was a lot easier for them to get D'Angelo Russell switched onto Ja Morant because of the guys that were on the floor. Earlier in the game, it was Jared Vanderbilt, it was Karl-Anthony Towns, it was Jaden McDaniels occasionally, it was Anthony Edwards, but then Memphis began to dictate who it was that Ja was going to go after, and they successfully went after D'Angelo Russell time and time and time again. It was really a brilliant adjustment made by Memphis in terms of their lineup. We have not seen them play that small much in this series, if at all, before this game, and it was effective in the fourth quarter. Again, point of attack defense in a lot of cases wasn't that bad. They held Memphis to 74 points through three quarters and had a lead beyond midway through the fourth quarter up until the final 3-4 minutes of the game. The Timberwolves carried that lead, and the defense wasn't all that bad. It was just a series of possessions. It was Memphis getting D'Angelo Russell caught guarding Ja Morant, and it was the Timberwolves not doing a good job adjusting to the adjustment from Memphis. So the biggest issue for me in this game was the way that Ja was defended down the stretch. We could talk about the final play. I'll talk about it briefly. If you want the full kind of breakdown of what happened, we did the live postcast over at Locked On Sports Minnesota on YouTube, and then also here on the Locked On Wolves feed, the live postcast, myself and Chalenga from Zone Coverage and the CND NBA podcast. We talked about the final couple of possessions. Anthony Edwards hits the corner three with 3.7 seconds left. And then after the timeout, everybody in the world knew that Ja Morant was going to get the ball at the top of the key and drive into the paint and try and score, maybe win the game, or I guess scoring would win the game. It was a tie game. Maybe get to the free throw line with a chance to win the game or make a bucket. And the Timberwolves put Anthony Edwards on Ja, which was fine, ran through the screen that was being set, but then gambled to get the steal, went on top of Morant to try and reach around to get the steal. Morant had a straight line drive to the basket and scored a round. I think it was Vanderbilt with 1 second to play to win the game for Memphis. Goes without saying that the gamble by Anthony Edwards was not the right play there. But that was another example of everybody knew what the Grizzlies were going to try and do, and the Timberwolves still could not slow them down. They could not make that stop, despite playing really good defense for the first three plus quarters. Just kind of came apart there at the end. And defending Ja, I mean, sure, you look at the box score, he had, 30 points, took him 22 shots to do it, but he got to the line 17 times again. Remember, he only went to the line 3 times last game. So if we want to keep talking about free throw disparity, let's keep talking about free throw disparity. Grizzlies, anybody covering the Grizzlies that wants to talk about that, any Grizzlies fans, remember 20 free throws game one, 17 free throws this game, 3 free throws last game. I don't want to get too far down that path, but that's where Ja did his damage in this game. He did turn it over 5 times as well. He actually didn't play all that well until the fourth quarter, but then he was the reason the Grizzlies were able to close this game out and win by a couple of points. All right, I have a couple other key takeaways, reasons why we could point to and say, hey, the Wolves lost for these really 3 reasons. And then also some talk about Karl-Anthony Towns. He had another good game. And what went well for the Wolves in getting Towns involved and what did not and where they failed. First of all, let's talk about our friends at Shady Rays. Shady Rays is an independent sunglasses company that gives you the features of $200 sunglasses, but for a fraction of the price. That means polarized lenses, well-constructed durable frames, and premium high-end finishes. Also, something you won't find anywhere else is Shady Rays Insane Protection Program. Shady Rays includes lost and broken protection on every pair. They will send you a brand new pair if you lose them, no matter what happened. Give them a try, and if you don't love them, you'll pay nothing. It's as simple as that. Plus, 10 meals are donated to fight hunger in America when you shop with Shady Rays. Exclusively for our listeners, head to ShadyRays.com and use code LOCKEDON to get 50% off 2 or more pairs of polarized sunglasses. By the way, my wife and I just did this. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to get that deal. And they arrived, I think, yesterday in the mail, 2 days ago. I wore them for the first time. Fantastic. I love them. Again, that's code Locked On for their best deal of the season. 50% off two or more pairs of Shady Rays sunglasses backed by over 150,000 verified five-star reviews. Thanks again for making Locked On Wolves your first listen every day. Make sure to check out the Locked On Wolves postcast again on Friday, Game 6, right here over on the Locked On Sports Minnesota YouTube channel, or you can listen to it in Locked On Wolves podcast feed immediately following the game. Our experts are bringing you live post-game coverage, breaking down the game with insights and analysis in a quick 10 to 12-minute show. Again, the Locked On Wolves postcast is part of the all-new Locked On Sports Minnesota. By the way, Locked On is only doing this in Minnesota and in Atlanta right now. The only two markets doing this full kind of vertical for all the different sports. Again, available live on YouTube right after the game. Locked On Twins, Locked On Wild, they're doing the same thing currently. And then also on all the Locked On Sports Minnesota podcast feeds as well. So be sure to check all that out. All right. Additional takeaways. Let's talk about Towns next before we get to the final takeaways at the end. Early in the game, the Timberwolves did a great job at finding Towns' touches. Remember, game three, the issue was as the Wolves were allowing this lead to just slip out of their fingers. Towns was screaming for the ball, asking for the ball in the perimeter, asking for the ball in the high post at the elbows. The Wolves were not getting him the ball. Credit Memphis for their defense. The Timberwolves coaching staff, their guards, did not do a good job of getting Towns the ball. That was more on everyone else, in my opinion, than it was on Towns in game three. Game four, Minnesota made a concerted effort to get Towns the ball. He was really effective, scored 33 points, had a solid game, and they were more creative. They did more off-ball stuff with him. They ran more false actions to get Towns the ball in opportune locations on the floor. This game started in the same manner. Really, the first three quarters, the Timberwolves did a good job of getting Towns the ball. They had him a lot at the nail, at the free throw line in the middle of the floor. Towns would get the ball, have the ability to facilitate from there. He could pump fake and drive. He could step back and shoot a three. You could survey the floor so well from there. I talked about this quite a bit, actually, on Tuesday's show, getting ready for this game, saying the Wolves needed to do that. They did exactly that. Towns had, I think he only had 8 in the first half or 7 in the first half, but he had a big third quarter, 10, 12 points in the third quarter. Everything happened the way that it should have. But down the stretch, things tightened up. The Timberwolves went into D'Angelo Russell isolation mode, Anthony Edwards isolation mode. And, well, Ant was pretty good in the fourth quarter. D'Lo was not, just, he wasn't. He had a couple big threes in the first half of this game and looked like he was going to get hot and have one of those games. But then he only scored 6 points the rest of the game. No more made threes. He missed that tough contested jumper that would have given the Wolves the lead in the final minute on the left side of the floor there. But, I mean, it was both Ant and D'Lo. The offense just simply stopped running through Cat, and it makes no sense. The man had 28 points on 15 shots, 5 of 7 on 3-point attempts, a perfect 9 of 9 from the free throw line. By the way, John Morant, 11 of 17 from the free throw line. Memphis's free throw shooting continues to shoot themselves in the foot, or they continue to shoot themselves in the feet, I guess, with it. Whereas Minnesota, very good from the line again, 21 of 24. Cat, again, 9 of 9 from the line. But why aren't the Wolves going through Karl-Anthony Towns more frequently down the stretch? Obviously, Memphis is tightening up their coverage. That makes sense. But the clear out for the Ant isolation, the clear out for the D'Lo isolation, those plays can work, and they're both good isolation players. D'Lo has proven, the numbers say he is a good clutch scorer. I get all that. But the best case scenario is to not need a good isolation clutch score. It's to just score through the flow of your offense, right? To run the offense through Towns as you do the rest of the game. And obviously, sideline out of bounds play, down three, they get the three for Anthony Edwards. He makes it to tie the game with 3.7 seconds left. That worked out great. Run an actual set prior to that instead of the clear outs for the isolation. And we don't know. I don't know how much Chris Finch was orchestrating that, was just allowing them to do their thing as he often does, or if the play call was let them go to work. I don't know. But that was an issue for me down the stretch when Cat had been so effective outside of some turnover issues once again, but very effective in the high post, very effective at the nail. Allow him to create, allow him to do his thing. Don't lean on isolation scoring from D'Lo and Ant. And that was an issue because, again, the first three quarters of the game, much like game four, Cat was active. They were putting him in a lot of different situations, running sets to get him open, to get him the ball in advantageous locations on the floor. And we just didn't see that in the fourth quarter. Very, very disappointing. All right, I have three main takeaways from this game beyond the Ja defense, or the defense on Ja and the Cat portion on offense. I want to talk about one now, then we'll hit two here in a minute. I already talked a little bit about this free throw disparity. Last game, Timberwolves shot, what, 15 less free throws? Guess what? They shot, or excuse me, 15 more. They shot 15 less free throws in this game. 24 free throws compared to Memphis's 39. The Timberwolves committed 10 more personal fouls. Jaren Jackson Jr., by the way, still couldn't help himself. Fouled out in just 18 minutes. Patrick Beverley fouled out, and Edwards and Towns each had 5 fouls, but nobody else was really in foul trouble for Minnesota. But the Wolves committed 10 total team fouls, 10 more total team fouls, and attempted 15 less free throws. Not hearing Memphis complain about the officiating anymore, and of course the Wolves aren't complaining in the same way that Memphis did after game 4. That's just the way the series has gone. And I've said this from the start. I don't think the officials, I'm not at all, at no moment have I thought, oh man, the officials really want Team X to win the game. I think that's ridiculous. That doesn't happen. However, officials can get carried away. I think there is a bit of a proven home bias at times when it comes to officiating. But again, I don't think I don't think cognizantly they're saying, oh, we want Memphis to win this game. That's not what's happening. There's just too many whistles, period. Nobody's trying to watch a game with 63 free throws. And that's what we just witnessed. It was like a 2 hour and 40 minute game or something like that. That's an issue. But all that to say, obviously the Wolves were still culpable on some level here, right? I'm not saying the Wolves didn't commit these fouls. I just find it hard to believe that Memphis didn't also commit these fouls in a game where the officials were again so whistle happy. Talked about this on the show. It was either Monday or Tuesday about how the Timberwolves are the team with the most fouls called against them in the playoffs. The Grizzlies are the fourth most. Of course, in the same series, we're going to see a lot of whistles, different crew each night too. I just, like, let's not do this in game 6. Let's just have a nice free-flowing game. The teams want to play fast. The pace of the game is great. Don't bog this down with more whistles. Just let them play. It's very frustrating, but that was an issue in this game. Minnesota minus 15 in free throw attempt in the free throw attempt column. However, they were only minus 5 in the free throws made because, again, the Wolves shot 87.5% from the line. The Grizzlies shot a horrific 66.7%, making only 2/3 of their free throw attempts in this game. Very disappointed if you're a Grizzlies fan. That's something I'd be concerned about in game 6 and 7. They continue to just kind of, I guess, be who we knew they were. You know, they weren't a good free throw shooting team in the regular season either. But they need to clean that up, right? That's something that the Wolves were very fortunate to help them kind of maintain that lead throughout the game. All right, I have two more key takeaways. Then real quick studs and duds here at the end of the show. We're going to get to all that here in just a moment. First, though, let's talk about our friends over at Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar of all time. They are delicious. They are protein bars, but they taste like candy bars. And if you haven't tried Built Puffs, you need to try them. They're the first ever protein-infused marshmallow. They're fluffy, marshmallowy. They're not just a protein bar. They are a treat, and they're covered in 100% real chocolate. All Built Bars are covered in 100% real chocolate. Go to Built.com, scroll down to the macros chart. You'll be absolutely blown away. High protein, low calorie, high fiber, low carb. Most Built Bars have just 130 calories, only 4 grams of sugar and 4 net carbs, just 17 grams of protein. Compare that to a candy bar, which often has around 240 calories, 30 grams of sugar, and dozens of net carbs. Built Bar is all about the taste. They make their bars taste delicious first, and then they figure out how to make them healthy. And I don't know how they do it, but they do it every single time. Go to Built.com. Use the promo code LOCKED15 and get 15% off your order. Again, that's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. All right, a couple of final takeaways. The biggest one probably, and I could have led the show with this, I guess, is rebounding. Came into the series saying, hey, Memphis is the league's best offensive rebounding team. They're top 10 in defensive rebound rate. The Wolves were the league's worst defensive rebound team in terms of rate for much of the year, in terms of percentage, but they finished, I think, 28th in rebound rate, defensive rebound rate. They're a good offensive rebounding team, but the best offensive rebounding team versus one of the worst defensive rebounding teams, we knew that would be an issue. Game one, the Wolves lost the battle on the glass, somehow won the game. Otherwise, in their loss in game 3, rebounding was another big issue. the Timberwolves did fine on the glass in game four. I think two is pretty close as well. But in this game, Minnesota was a minus 11 on the glass. In fact, Memphis got 18 offensive rebounds in this game. They got half as many offensive rebounds as the Timberwolves got defensive rebounds in this game. Brandon Clark was a monster. He had 9 offensive rebounds himself, 7 of which were in the fourth quarter by my count, which is just bonkers. Brandon Clark finished with 21 and 15, plus 3 assists and a block for good measure. In 37 minutes, he was third on the Grizzlies in minutes played. And of course, he comes off the bench for them, kind of sucked up all of Xavier Tillman's minutes, and he was needed when Jaren Jackson Jr. was in foul trouble, predictably so once again. But Brandon Clark just he's a pogo stick. His second jump ability, if that's a phrase, his second jump is so impressive. He's just got a knack for the ball. It's almost like a Kevin Love like instinct to where the ball is going to go. And we saw him kill the Timberwolves back in the fall. In that first game, the Wolves were up double digits in Memphis heading into the fourth quarter, and Brandon Clark went off for them in the second half of that game. Was very impressive. Again, 21 and 15 in this game. And the Wolves just couldn't. One of the things the Grizzlies were doing is they were getting the Wolves in rotation, right, where they were having to leap out and contest on the perimeter. And every time it seemed like Towns got sucked out to the perimeter, it was one more kick, or maybe it was when Towns is closing out, you get the shot up. Towns is pulled away from the rim, and now you're looking at Jade McDaniels and, Anthony Edwards and guys that just are not plus rebounders trying to battle Brandon Clark, among others, for rebounds. And Brandon Clark's going to win that almost every time. Smart by the Grizzlies to pull Towns out of the paint. Because Towns was rebounding the ball. He finished this game with, 12 rebounds. But I don't know how many of those were in the first half, but I made a note in the first half. Towns was controlling the glass. He was boxing out. He was being physical. He was rebounding with one hand when he needed to. Very impressive early. Late, the Grizzlies pulled him out of the paint as much as possible, forced him to be contesting shots on the perimeter, and let Clark just eat glass. And that's exactly what happened. The Wolves cannot lose the rebound battle by, 15 or 11, and then lose the offensive rebound battle by 12. The Timberwolves only had 6 of their own offensive rebounds compared to 18 from Memphis. They can't do that and expect to win. It's an issue we knew was going to be an issue, but yet how do you adjust it, right? Offensive rebound is so much of it is stick-to-itiveness, it's desire, it's want to. If the Timberwolves don't have that, they're in big trouble. Now, they do generally, right? I'm not at all suggesting that they like quit or anything like that. But so much of offensive rebound is just desire and wanting to get there. Rebounding in general and keeping the Grizzlies off the glass would be a huge step in the right direction. Minnesota's got to fix that before game 6 and at least have a better showing in that area. The last thing would be turnovers. The Timberwolves committed 22 turnovers. I don't know how many were in the first quarter, but probably 8, 9. Throwing the ball out of bounds, traveling, it just bad turnovers. Memphis wasn't great either, 16 turnovers. But the Wolves committed 22 turnovers. It's just feeding this narrative now of this team taking bad shots and committing bad turnovers. And yes, we've seen that in this series, but the Wolves weren't that turnover prone throughout the season. And I don't know that, the shot selection is certainly free-flowing, but I don't know that I would generally say that it's bad outside of the random D'Lo stop and pop and some of the Torian Prince hero stuff in this game. But at any rate, the turnover thing is not great for the Wolves. All right, last thing, individual studs and duds very quickly today. Have to give one to Towns. The 7 turnovers are ugly, but he played well, 28 and 12. Three steals, 2 blocks, and an assist. 7 of 15 shooting. He made 5 threes in 7 attempts, and one of those attempts was the three-quarters court heave with 1 second to play. So 5 of 6 on actual three-point attempts. A perfect 9 of 9 from the free throw line. He was good defensively, not great. He was good on the glass, not great. But he was very good offensively when the ball actually got to him. So a solid game from Towns. They need a Herculean effort from him on Friday if they're going to force a game 7. And then they'll need it again in game 7 as well. Another stud for me, it has to be Anthony Edwards. The other numbers weren't there. The 22 points on 20 shots is fine. The three-point shooting was just fine, 3 of 9, but obviously he hit the big game-time 3. He had a couple of nice, one really nice mid-range jumper on a crossover when the game was within a couple possessions late. He only got to the line 4 times, which is kind of bonkers. He shot 4 free throws and Josh shot 17, but here we are. Ant had only 1 rebound in 35 minutes and didn't do anything else in the box score, but I have to give him a stud because if we're playing the game the way that I've set this up, there has to be another one. He hit that big shot. He only turned it over once. He was in some foul trouble as well, but generally speaking, Ant had a solid game. And I just said all the stuff about setting the rules. I guess I'll give one to Naz Reid. Naz only played 13 minutes, which was the least of anybody on the Wolves that saw the floor, obviously, because he backs up Towns. But he played well, especially in the first half. The second half stretch was a bit more rough, but the first half stretch from Naz Reid is very good. He still only had 2 rebounds in 13 minutes, but he shot 4 of 7. He had 9 points and a block. Was very good in the first half, just okay in the second half. So shout out to Naz Reid for being a stud in this game. In terms of duds, I have to give one to, believe it or not, Patrick Beverley. I don't think Bev had his best defensive game. He also had 5 turnovers in just 28 minutes and fouled out. Just not Patrick Beverley's shiniest moment for whatever that's worth. It's whatever. This is probably the worst game he's had in the playoffs so far, and it wasn't even all that bad, frankly. It just, compared to some of the rest of the starters, and also the fact he wasn't able to be on the floor at the end of the game, certainly hurt. I'm also going to give one to D'Angelo Russell. 12-8 sounds okay, and he had a good start to the game, but the 4 turnovers, the ill-advised shot attempts late were problematic. So I'm going to give D'Angelo Russell a dud for this game. All right, that's all for now. We've got shows, obviously, Thursday and Friday to get you ready for Friday night. So there's more to break down. I'll have a fresh take on this. Give it 24 hours. Let it sit. I'll have more to say for Thursday's show. We'll look on Friday at previewing Friday night's game. And then hopefully we get a game 7 on Sunday as well. So all that to come this week. Thank you once again for those of you that do make Locked On Wolves your first listen each and every day. A reminder that you can watch this show on YouTube. You can also follow on any audio platform, Apple, Google, Spotify, Odyssey. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and at BBeacon with 2 B's, 2 E's. CKEN, a sincere thank you to all those, our new listeners. We picked up quite a few new listeners during this playoff run. Definitely appreciate it. If you listen on Apple or wherever you listen, please help us out with a positive review. That definitely goes a long way, and it's greatly appreciated. And thanks again for making us your first listen every day. That's all we have for you today. Thanks again for listening to Locked On Wolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. And as long as you're making us your first listen, consider making your second listen Locked On NBA. From the first jump ball, the play-in, to the last possession of the finals, Locked On experts take you deep inside the playoffs with insight and analysis affecting all 30 teams. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.